Okay, Alexander, we really need to talk about a story which just really, really pissed me off. Mm. I got really upset with this. Let me take you to Revolver News. Mm. This is the title that they have. Neocons levy false attacks on Trump to distract from hideous waste of blood and treasure overseas. Alexander, I'm going to actually add something else to that title where they say distract from hideous waste of blood and treasure overseas. And I'm going to say to also distract from the riots that the Biden-Harris campaign and the Democrats refuse to condemn. So I'm going to say, not only does this story about Trump and the military, where supposedly, as this Atlantic, it comes from the Atlantic magazine, the I believe he's the editor of Atlantic. Jeffrey Goldberg. Anyway,
Jeffrey Goldberg, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So Jeffrey Goldberg wrote this piece where supposedly Trump was calling the U.S. military, the active personnel in the U.S. military, he said, it's filled with losers. Going to the cemetery, he said, quote, why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers, end quote. Jeffrey Goldberg is citing anonymous sources, of course. But I think this was not only a distraction from the waste of blood and treasure overseas, because that's a reference to Jeffrey Goldberg, who helped push. He was a major backer of the Iraq WMD hoax. He helped push that war. So it's a distraction from all the ridiculous wars of Clinton, Bush, and Obama. But I think more importantly, it's a distraction from the disastrous riots that have hammered the Biden campaign over the past 2-3 weeks, especially the past 2-3 weeks. I want to say it's really hit the Biden campaign hard, and they cannot condemn the riots. They cannot condemn Antifa. They cannot condemn BLM. And so I think they had to construct a very quick narrative to move away from those riots and once again get Trump on the defensive. And they came up with this. I think they came up with this because they dug into Trump's comments 3, 4 years ago, 5 years ago about John McCain. And they said, okay, we'll piggyback off of those John McCain comments to hit him with this military losers quote. That's how I think this whole thing came about. They copy and pasted this together and bam, they went to the Atlantic, which is a complete neocon rag. Alexander, this story really, really upsets me, especially coming from people that pushed the Iraq WMD war. Very quickly, here is a tweet from Jeffrey Lord. It says this, John Bolton rejects Atlantic story. Quote, I was there. I didn't hear that. Even John Bolton, arch neocon, John Bolton said Trump did not say that. Alexander, dig into this story. Yeah. Take all the time you need. Because it is a very upsetting story.
It's a very upsetting story. It is complete fake news. John Bolton is not just an ardent neocon. He hates Donald Trump. I mean, he's been running a campaign against Donald Trump now for the better part of the year. He is no friend of Donald Trump. He would not defend Donald Trump on this story if there was any truth to it. Now, it is not true. It is inconceivable that Donald Trump would say anything like this. Donald Trump has a very strong relationship with the men who serve, the men and women who serve in the United States Armed Forces. They are a critically important part of his electoral base. It's inconceivable that he would say such a thing. He absolutely does not think of them in this way at all. He's never given any hint that he does. And I think this is partly intended, as you rightly say, to put Donald Trump on the defensive at the time when the Democrats are in trouble over the riots. It is a sign that the Democrats sense that their support is slipping, which it is fast. And it is also an attempt to create problems between Donald Trump and his critically important electoral base, which is the men and women who serve in the US Armed Forces, their families, and the more patriotic elements of US society, who have been consolidating behind Donald Trump because of his defense of US history, US symbols, law, order, and the traditional American way of life. These people who support Trump because of these things revere the military And the intention is clearly to create problems between them. And of course, the other thing, how is it done? You invent a story, attribute it to four anonymous sources. People who don't come forward, don't say who they are, hide behind anonymity, make up whatever they want. The media reproduces it. It's given credence, and it simply isn't true. And the astonishing thing is, so many people in the media who definitely know better, they prefer to believe these anonymous sources than people like John Bolton, who've come out openly and said that they were there, and they can say definitely that this story isn't true. I don't believe the American people will believe this. I don't believe people who serve in the military or their families will believe this. I don't believe that the people who intend to vote for Trump will believe this. But it is a sign both of how desperate the Democrats are becoming and how, frankly, some people in the Democratic Party and in the media, which supports the Democratic Party, have serious problems with truth and are prepared to make up any story which they think can do harm to Donald Trump. These things are seriously, serially produced now. We've had this story, which is, as I said, actually deeply offensive one. We had a story a few days ago about Donald Trump suffering a succession of strokes, which his doctors don't know anything about. We had the story just a few weeks before about the bounties that the Russians were supposedly paying out to people in Afghanistan, which Donald Trump had allegedly been briefed about, only he hadn't been briefed about. So we have an industrial line, a production line, which fabricates and invents these stories and is going to go on doing so all the way to the election and beyond. But all I will say is I don't think it's gaining any traction. I think what it does is that it upsets and angers people. And I think a lot of people have the same reaction to this story that you have had, Alex, and which I have had, because it's so obviously dishonest and so manipulative as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going through Twitter right now and I can't find the exact tweet, Alexander, but Goldberg was on CNN, and I'll find that tweet and I'll put it up for our viewers. Goldberg was on CNN, and he said something along the lines of, you know, I've got these anonymous sources who have told me this, but I'm not going to name their names. I'm not going to name them, because if I do name them, then they have a fear of being intimidated and having, you know, tweets sent to them. Literally, he said they're going to be intimidated via Twitter. Yeah. I'll put that tweet up there as I'm saying this. For our viewers, I mean, this is an open and shut case to me. You have the guy that pushed the fake hoax of Iraq WMD, and you have John Bolton siding with Trump. So I don't understand what the issue is here.
Well, there isn't any issue. I mean, even Glenn Greenwald, Glenn Greenwald, who is, of course, a left-wing journalist, but one of integrity, has pointed out the complete absurdity of this story. And it is absurd. I mean, it is absurd and it is wrong. And it is a sign of the complete collapse of ethics in American journalism. Can I just add that anonymous sources should never be trusted? I mean, the idea that these people can come up with these stories, say these terrible things about Donald Trump, who is the president of the United States, and, you know, they can say these things, but, you know, we've got to protect them from being criticized on Twitter. How does anybody... Does anybody not see the ludicrous absurdity of that? I mean, you can say anything you like about the president of the United States. You could say anonymously, but at the same time, you can't be challenged. You must be protected from challenge, even on Twitter. I mean, it's just extraordinary to me. I mean, what about Donald Trump's feelings? What about him? You know, how does he feel about being talked about in this way? But of course, as far as the people who fabricate these stories, the neocons and the neoliberals and all that crowd, as far as they're concerned, Donald Trump's feelings don't matter. Or indeed, the people who serve in the military, their feelings don't matter either. You know, they are being used as pawns in this story, because they are. And that is, again, a very manipulative approach and attitude towards them. But, you know, the people who are supposedly peddling these stories anonymously can't be held to account for them, can't be challenged about them. Now, of course, that's always assuming that these people even exist. And, you know, I'm not making any claims about this particular story, but I have no doubt at all that certainly in other cases we've had allegations of, you know, anonymous sources coming forward and saying things, and those anonymous sources are just invented.
Yeah. So one of the mainstream media publications that has gone hard after Trump, that actually takes the lead in trying to get Biden elected and trying to remove Trump, is the Washington Post, which is owned by uber rich oligarch Jeff Bezos.
Let me read you. World, I believe.
Worth like
$200 billion.
$200, $150 billion.
No. I mean, it went up. I mean, he was $130 billion at the start of this year. He's $200 billion now because he's done so well from the pandemic crisis.
Yeah, makes you think. All right. So you have Charlie Kirk sent out this tweet, Alexander, and it says this: the widow of Steve Jobs, Lorene Powell Jobs, donated at least $500,000 to Joe Biden's campaign this year. Do you know who owns a majority stake in the Atlantic? Lorene Powell Jobs. Lorene Powell Jobs. And then Trump tweeted regarding Charlie Kirk's tweet. Trump said this: Steve Jobs would not be happy that his wife is wasting money he left her on a failing radical left magazine that is run by a con man, Goldberg, and spews fake news and hate. No. Call her, write her, let her know how you feel. Now, if I was Trump, I wouldn't have put that last line, call her, write her, let her know how you feel. I would not have tweeted that.
I agree.
Everything above that is fine,
as
is Charlie Kirk's tweet. That's fine. So once again, you have an extremely uber-rich wife of a tech oligarch, the most famous probably tech oligarch of all time, who now owns, I would imagine she calls herself liberal left. I would imagine that's how she would categorize herself. But she owns a neocon. Trump says it's a radical left magazine. I would say it's a neocon, a radical neocon magazine. She now has a majority stake in that, and she has donated $500,000 to Joe Biden. What do you make of this scenario?
Well, it's exactly what we said many times. We've now seen this very dangerous concentration of power in the tech companies and in their owners, and they've expanded their interests into media. The Atlantic is a well-established media journal in the United States, and of course, at the same time, they're using their control of platforms like the one we're being hosted on at the moment in order to promote that media and to basically suppress or discourage media that takes other views. So it is entirely consistent. By the way, I agree completely with what Donald Trump said about Steve Jobs. Now, I mean, we all remember Steve Jobs, who was a remarkable man, very, very creative person. Unlike, by the way, I mean, this is my own impression, many of the people who now work in the tech companies come across to me more as technicians than creators. I don't think Steve Jobs would have had anything to do with a story like this. I don't think he'd have touched something like the Atlantic. He'd have said, this has got absolutely nothing to do with me. I would have wanted nothing to do with this. That is my feeling about this, but that's the change in culture that has come over the tech industry in the United States. Whereas a couple of years ago, 10, 20 years ago, they were, you know, real entrepreneurs and people, you know, innovative and inventive people like Steve Jobs, who forged ahead and built up this industry and, you know, represented, embodied, if you like, American enterprise. What you now have is exactly what you said, tech oligarchs leveraging their wealth and power and doing it in furtherance of particular agendas, political agendas, which do not include Donald Trump.
There it is. No. Doesn't include Donald Trump. It definitely includes whoever's going to be running the White House if Biden wins.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you think he should have tweeted that last line?
No, I agree. I agree. I don't think he should have done. I think that was both wrong and unnecessary, actually. I think responding to her and pointing out that Steve Jobs would never have done that, I think that's absolutely proper and legitimate. But I think the last line was a mistake, and a serious mistake. But having said that, we must maintain a sense of proportion, serious in a minor way. This story that The Atlantic has published is disgraceful. It's outrageous.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Also, make sure to hit that like and share this video with your friends, with your family, with anybody you know. Help us get some exposure here at The Durant. When you share a video, it helps us out a lot. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation also helps this channel out a whole lot. And something else that helps us out a lot is when you go to The Durant shop and you pick up some merchandise. We've got new shirts, new hoodies, new hats, new mugs. I've got a new shirt here. I've also got a new magic mug here, which is Serbia.
Was the United States and Britain, the two great Anglo-Saxon English-speaking nations, maybe not so Anglo-Saxon anymore, but English-speaking certainly. And we've got also, I think I've got Australia too, which is another great English-speaking nation. And we also have the smaller mugs, and this is Greece, I think. So we have these amazing magic mugs, the best mugs in the world, and we also have them in enamel now. This is England, by the way. So enamel mugs, which you can take outdoors, and they are phenomenal mugs to have outdoors. You know, they're perfect if you go on a walking holiday like I and my wife recently did. So they're the best mugs in the world, bar none. I say that as the person who is the world expert on mugs. And we are obviously producing mugs all the time now with national flags. If you want to see your own flag or a flag of a country that you're interested in, just wait a little. If it's not there, it's bound to come. But if you know you can't wait too long, well, just drop us a line and we'll see what we can do. And as Alex rightly says, we now have shirts also with flags of countries on, and we've got embroidered shirts coming, and we've got amazing hats, hoodies, and some of them are, many of them with flags too, and some of them embroidered, and we've got hats, we've got trucker's hats and baseball caps and embroidered hats, and we've got an amazing gallery of ebooks. So you'll find them all in our shop. You support the Durant by coming to our shop. You are the owner of these great and wonderful things if you come to our shop, and Alex will quickly remind you how to do that.
You'll find the link to the Durant shop down below underneath this video. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.